cause that you have created them for in this day. Bless every single one of them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Why don't you give them a round of applause as they make their way back to the seat. So good. So good. And be careful if you're going to schoolies. So awesome. Well, it is my absolute privilege to introduce not just one, not just two, but three speakers tonight. So strap yourselves in. And why don't you welcome to the stage, firstly, Ethan. Why don't you come on up, Ethan? Awesome.
Thank you. Can we give a hand to the bands? Phew. Come on. Smashed it tonight. Thanks, Mick. Look, it's different being down here. I usually I'm on the drums up there, but it was awesome being down here. You guys went off in the mosh. I felt a little bit old, but I remember it wasn't long ago that I was graduating. No, it was long ago. 12 years ago now. That's scary to say. But yeah, I just was thinking about, you know, what did I go through back then that I wish someone had spoken into my life a little bit about. And so I was talking about, you know, Pastor Noah mentioned calling. I mean, by the way, he can turn any movie into like a scripture reference or something, or he just turns the floss dance move into the spoken word. It's amazing. But yeah, just about the calling that's on your life. And I know I grew up in church. In this church since I was a little kid, and I'd always hear about this great calling that people would get. And so I grew up expecting that I would finish school. I went to Bible college straight out of school, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to finish school, finish Bible college, and someone's going to give me this great prophecy. I'm going to be some big preacher or worship pastor or something. So I get through school, did Bible college, and I get there, and I'm like, all right, God, I'm here, I'm ready. Come on, what is it? What do you want me to do? And yeah, it didn't happen. you get the vague, you're going to do great things. Yeah, what great things? tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. But then I sort of decided for myself, it's going to be to do with music. So I sort of shut out a lot of maybe possible things that maybe God wanted me to do, but because I said to myself, it's going to be music. So anything that wasn't music, I was like, nah, that's not for me. You know, the pastor might say, oh, could you at youth come and, you know, bring a word? I was like, I feel like God's called me to be a musician. That's not really what I do. So, nah, I'll give that one a miss. But I just want to say that it's not about getting this one calling and going, all right, nothing else matters, it's that only. Your whole life is your calling. Like, God's called you to be you. He created you to do you because no one else can do you. No one else can do the things that you do because God created you and you alone to do that. There's some people in the Bible that do get this big calling, like King David. He was about 15 years old. Samuel rocks up and, you know, gets all the other brothers, but picks David and goes, anoint him as the next king of Israel. And it's like, come on, 15 years old, already know where I'm going, what I'm doing. But David didn't just sit back and go, all right, if it's not to do with being a king, I'm not doing it. You know, he still went back out and was a shepherd. He still became a musician. He played for the king of the time. He's just a muso, an armor bearer, went out, killed Goliath. He didn't sit around going, nah, you guys serve me, I'm going to be the next king. He's still going out there doing things that it doesn't seem like it's got anything to do with being a king. Further down the track, he becomes a great warrior and stuff, and he was even the enemy of the king at the time for a while, and it taught him many things that ended up helping him as king. But at the time, he didn't know that. He's just like, hey, I'm going to be a king someday, but this is what I'm doing right now. The next thing is the little callings along the way are just as important as any big one that you get. Like the Good Samaritan, Jesus is talking to his disciples, or he's talking to some smart man. It's like a smart Jew, and he's like, all right, I'm going to try and catch you out, Jesus. Like, what? Like, all it's talking about all the laws. I keep all of them. And then Jesus goes, all right, here's a story. Good Samaritan in Luke. And he says, all right, guy comes along, gets mugged. He's robbed. He's half dying in a ditch. And then he's lying there. The guy runs off. And a priest of the time walks past and looks at him, steps to the other side of the road and goes, nah, it's not my job. I'm a priest. I'm called to do this. I'm called to preach. I'm called, you know, spread the word, but that's not my job. And then a Levite comes along. I'm going to call him a worship pastor. He's like, nah, that's not my job. I'm called to lead massive, you know, 2,000 people. I'm going to lead them in worship. I'm going to go to Hillsong Conference and lead that, but that's not for me. And then a Samaritan who was actually like an enemy of the Jews at the time, he comes past and he looks after him, spends money, picks him up, takes him away, looks after him. And Jesus says, who did the right thing in this situation? Was it the big priest, the worship leader, or the Levite? Or was it the guy that's supposed to be an enemy? And you know, the smart man who's a Jew is like, well, it was the Samaritan. Even though it's got nothing to do with the law, even though it's got nothing to do with, you know, what God has said you can and can't do, it's just love. And it's all about love. And my last point is it's from Romans 12. I think we got the scripture up there. Yes. Love the New King James. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. When I first read this, I'm like, that is so, like, ooh, I don't want to do that. Sacrifice, whole life, reasonable service. It's not even like, that's your epic service. It's just your reasonable service. Come on, God. And I was like, I've struggled with it, you know. They use it all the time in worship because, like, reasonable act of worship is also a translation. And I was just like, yeah, worship. And then I'm like, oh, it's still sacrifice. it's sacrificial worship. Oh, you can tell she's a worship pastor. I read in this, and it wasn't until recently I got this revelation that, you know, Jesus came to show us how to live. Jesus came to do it right, do life. Live it to the full, do it to the maximum. And I don't think at any point Jesus was bored going, oh man, I wish I could just, you know, break this law so I could have a good time. And pretty sure he was having an epic life. Yeah, he had some hard times. But I realized that just listening to God in each and every moment, and he's showing you how to live. You know, when he's saying, oh, don't do that, do this, it's not because he's like, I don't want you to have fun over there. It's come over here because this is how to have the best time in your life. You know, and it's not like, oh, saying, oh, no, but it's got nothing to do with worship. He's like, yeah, but it's got to do with your life. This is what I'm calling you to do in your life. That life is so much bigger than just every Sunday or, you know, the big moments. Life is every day, morning to night. Well, even while you're sleeping, he can be talking to you and showing you things. And so don't ignore the little things because you don't think it fits in with your big picture that you've got. Or even if he's called you to it, there's still little things he wants you to do along the way. All right, hand it over to the youth pastor, Reese.
Cool. Can we thank Ethan for that? That was awesome. I've known Ethan a long time, and I just love being around him because he always speaks wisdom, but so often it's not even intentional. He'll just be the way he speaks, and it's like, wow, that was really good, and he's like, what did I say? So Ethan's awesome. I encourage you to get around him. Thank you for that word, Ethan. Tonight I wanted to speak on, I guess, a principle that's key to our faith, but I believe it's key to humanity. And when it's applied to our lives, I actually believe it becomes more of a lifestyle than something we just choose to do. And that is kindness. I believe that kindness is crucial. I've actually called this message, Kill Them With Kindness. For those who are young, you would know the reference. But there's a song that is written, and I think one line of the song is, Yeah, we got a fan. But I think one line of this song is, your mouth is a gun and your words are weapons, so kill them with kindness. And it's a powerful line because, I don't know, it's this reference of your words have life and power. And we can choose whether we show kindness with our words or we can choose whether we have death with our words. And I just believe that as Christians, we should be the most kind people. We should be the ones who are first kind. And I just believe that for us, people won't listen to Christians unless they know how much we care for them. Like, all of our knowledge is awesome. Our relationship with God is key. But the fact is, it has no relevance to the world if they don't know what it means. If they don't know how much we care for them, how we can actually act kind towards them. A great example of this is Peter and John. In Acts 3, we see them walking towards a temple and obviously for a gathering or whatever it was in the moment. And along their journey, just outside the gate, there's a lame man. Essentially someone who from birth could not walk, totally paralyzed. And this person there is begging for money. And I'm sure day after day, if it references that it was from birth. So obviously for a long period of time, he's been begging for money. For a long period of time, he's been asking for help. And then Peter and John walk by and he obviously does his spiel or the look sad or whatever his thing is to try and get something. And they look at him and they say, I don't have anything, but what I do have, I'll give to you. Be healed in the name of Jesus. And I love how they act in kindness for this. And I want to actually point out that there was a few ways to act kind in this moment. This wasn't the only way. They could have been kind by smiling and saying, sorry, I don't have anything. I wish I could help. And that's still some form of kindness. They could have checked their pockets, found any loose change or something, or maybe a few crumbs or whatever. And that could have been kindness. But they went above and beyond in their kindness. They actually used kingdom kindness. They actually used their faith and their ability and their beliefs to actually show an extra level of kindness. And I believe that kindness is so, so, so crucial in everything that we do. Because as Christians, we've got an awesome message. But how many of us know that through the media or through other purposes or even through other Christians, it can be misconstrued? But the fact is, what they cannot change is our kindness. What they cannot change is our love for people. And when our kindness stands above that as the loudest voice, that is what will be heard, and then the message will come across. So tonight I just wanted to quick two points in how we show kingdom kindness. So the first one is we get a bit salty. In Matthew 5:14, and I believe this one will come up on the screen. I've done the wrong one. Shoot. Can we get 5:13 up? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What does salt do? Well, salt actually enhances the flavor. I don't know about you, but I put salt on a steak to make it taste better. Essentially, when we walk into a room as Christians, we should make the environment better. We should make a taste better. Something that I love to do personally is I love to actually just walk into a cafe or walk into a room and just look for someone that I know or someone that I even like have an acquaintance with and just shout them a coffee. I did it the other day to someone and I just didn't tell them about it. I just walked away, asked the cafe person just to take it to them. And I just believe that through simple acts like that, it just demonstrates kindness. It just demonstrates a love for people. And the fact is, that is so simple. I think that coffee cost me $4. And imagine doing that once a day or once a week or whatever it is, but a simple act of kindness. Because as Christians, it is totally within our ability to show kindness in everything that we do. Because when we begin to choose to show kindness, it actually becomes a lifestyle. And it becomes something we don't have to think about. It just becomes who we are. Because when we show kindness, the gospel is edified and he is edified. He actually comes out of our kindness towards other people. Just like Peter and John, they did an above and beyond kingdom kindness. They did an above and beyond act of kindness, something that they didn't have to do just to show kindness. They did it above and beyond. And just like our saltiness, it actually enhances it to be above and beyond. We actually can go so far out of our way. We can actually choose to do the simple steps. We can actually choose to show love and to show kindness through our faith, through our obedience. And I guess my challenge to all of us in that point is, well, ask God, where are we being salty? Where are we enhancing the flavor? Where are we enhancing the kindness of the room? The fact is, kindness is actually known to the world, but kingdom kindness is above and beyond. Kindness is something that people can identify. Anyone can choose to be kind. But the fact is, kingdom kindness is what will capture people's attention and make them ask why. Point two is actually the other scripture I had up there, but it's speaking about light. So Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." As Christians, we're called to go light up a room. When was the last time you walked into a place and people said, "What's different about you?" And when I wrote that, it actually convicted me. Because the fact is, when is the last time I walked into a situation or a room and people had to question, well, why are you happy? Or why are you being so kind? You don't know me. Why is there a difference? But the fact is, if we are called to be the light, if we are called to actually light up the darkness, because the definition of darkness is where there is no light, when we bring in the light, the darkness flees. It literally cannot be. So when we bring in a light, when we bring in a kindness, we're actually called to expand that room. We're actually called to change the atmosphere in that moment. And therefore, people should be able to identify that. I love at the moment, and a lot of, especially the younger ones would know this, but there's a very famous music artist who currently has the number one trending album and whatnot. His name is Kanye West. He just released an album. He's such a controversial artist. Like, he's not known for being a Christian by any means. And then recently comes out with an album called Jesus is King. And everyone's like, what just happened? And I love this because everyone's like, oh, it's a gimmick. Oh, it's a show. Like, oh, where's the genuineness? Or like, where is this Kanye come from? But the thing that I've been recently noticing is on all these comments, all these YouTube comments or Instagram or Facebook or everywhere it is, whenever there's a photo of Kanye, he's actually smiling. And the comments point that out. Like, literally half the top comments that I see are along the lines of, it's so good to see him smile. It's so good to see him happy. And it's funny because the world noticed what God did. The world noticed his kindness. The world noticed the change in him. And by that simple smile, he proclaimed the kingdom through a kind way. A smile can go a million miles because he lit up the room. He lit up his sphere of influence. He lit up his atmosphere. And the fact is, yes, he did an album. Yes, he did all of that. But people are noticing the kindness act. People are noticing just him smiling that there's a change. People can easily question his motives. People can easily question all of that, but they've noticed a change in who he is. And that is what is powerful. The fact is, as Christians, when was the last time we lit up a room? When was the last time we increased the flavor? Because as Christians, we should be the kindest people on earth, and people should be able to identify us as that. Thanks, church. I'm going to pass on to Mai Phillips. He's going to bring an awesome word.
Hey, everyone. As Reece said, my name's Mai. Just a quick thing. I have to resort to a notepad and pen. Broke my phone. So it was a bit weird. My handwriting's really messy. So if I can't read my own notes, that'll be interesting. But as I said, my name's Mai. I'm 20 years old, and the main thing is I've been a youth leader at King's for almost 3 years, but this term I had the great opportunity to move into a higher role where we started running a program called Reach, which is a program designed for our year 11 and 12 students, moving them towards young adults and getting them more connected into the church, which has been great, and I've loved being a part of it. It's been a great journey so far. We're only 4 weeks in, so It's a lot to take in, but it's been great so far. But today, what I want to focus on, and I don't want to take too much of your time, but what I want to focus on is today. Make today count. That's the title of my message. And I think the main thing with life is life goes on, and we focus so much on the future. And, oh, you need to get a great job. You need to go to uni. You need to make sure you get the great grades in school. And when you go to uni, you need to do this. And then you need to get the perfect job. And you need to keep getting a promotion and promotion. But so often we get caught on what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week or next year, that we forget the importance of today. And I just want to remind you of a scripture. It's from Matthew 6:34, and it should come up on the screen. It says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And before I get into this, I am very passionate about sport. Love sport. Mostly touch football. That's my main thing. Not Oztag. Oztag's like too social. Not my thing. I know Pastor Noah loves it. Rugby. Yeah, it's all right to watch, but I play touch footy. But a couple months ago, this young man named Zach, he got engaged the other day. Shout out. Congratulations. He decided that we should start playing basketball. And personally, I'm not a big fan because it's not a football. It's not shaped like a football. So it's round like a soccer ball, which you don't use in touch footy. So you get the picture. So I was like, all right, like I'll come along here and there. I was coming on occasion, not always there. But then a couple of the boys, they're really getting passionate about it. I'm like, all right, let's play some basketball. And then one week I decided, well, I need to support an NBA team to make sure I feel a part of it. So what do? You look up NBA teams' jerseys. So you got to pick a jersey that actually looks good. So I looked at a couple of jerseys. I'm like, oh, Golden State, those colors aren't the best. Shout out, Miguel. And then after I looked through a few, I went, all right, I'm going with the Brooklyn Nets. They're plain black, white, gray, you know, your normal colors. Okay, and I'm like, all right, that's my team. And then instantly all my friends, I've just picked the team that day, and all my friends go, name the starting lineup. I'm like, I don't know. Like, what? I'll get there. Give me a couple of weeks. So I'm getting there. I'm learning. But as I've done this, I've become very committed to following this team. They're not the best team. They're currently 4 wins, 4 losses. It's very early days. I'm really believing that they're going to make the playoffs. But if they don't, there's next year because our best player comes back next year. But the reason I tell you this is because that's the future. Okay, let's rein it back in. That's the future. But right now we need to focus on them getting to the playoffs this year. And they need to win every game as they come. So, yes, they can come to the playoffs, but they need, if I focus on all the other teams and their coach goes, oh, if we beat this many teams and this happens and someone scores a basket thing here and there, if it happens, it happens. But the main thing that they need to focus on is one point at a time. If you don't score points, you're not going to win, yeah? Everyone gets how sports work. But the thing with sport is, it's actually not about the other team. If you can control what you can do from your end, you don't actually have to focus on the other team. And I was like, well, how can I relate this back to my whole point of the future and today? But I think so often we think the playoffs or next year, or that's our season that we're looking at. And we're looking so far to the future that we're not focusing on the now. So often we focus on our dream job and making sure we complete university so then we can get to that job or get that next promotion or make sure we're getting the paid right, getting paid the right money so we can buy a house, and getting so caught up in those big things that we forget the little things. And in basketball, it's just about getting that next point. If you can get that next point, then you can get another point and another point, and you can win the game. And what that is to us is that's waking up in the morning and reading our Bible. That's waking up in the morning and not getting caught up in, oh, I've got an exam later today, or I've got to go to work, I don't have time for Jesus. It's bringing it back together and going, what can I do to focus on my life? And kind of like what Reese was saying, we can focus on kindness. How often do we go to a job and when we're working, we might be working at Kmart or Macca's and you're on minimum wage and it's not the best job and you're like, I don't want to be stuck doing this forever, but you're doing it to pay the bills and pay for your $100 phone plan that's way too expensive. Someone could lend me a free phone because I don't have one. But every encounter that you have could be that thing that someone else needs. and they could be the most annoying customer in the world, and they're not even making sense. And yes, I worked in a cafe. You get those annoying customers. But you could be that person who has a smile on your face, just like what Reese was saying. You could be that person who has a smile and actually just greets them for who they are and be like, hey, how you doing? Instead of, okay, yeah, whatever you need. You're like, oh, you can go talk to my manager. Instead of being that grumpy person, we can be that happy person. But also, we can wake up every morning, and instead of pushing God to the side, we can put God to the front. And it says in Matthew 16:24, deny yourself and take up your cross daily. It doesn't say take up your cross once you get your dream job. It doesn't say take up your cross once you've got your life sorted. It just says take up your cross daily. So I guess as we're closing up, my challenge for you guys is, how often do we put off God because of the future? How often do we push today away to focus on tomorrow? Because it's just so easy to do. But my challenge is, why don't we spare an extra minute, set our alarm 1 minute earlier to take up our cross, to read one scripture, even if it's the scripture of the day on the Bible app, one scripture, even if it's 30 seconds to pray, hey God, help me be kind today. Jesus' name, amen. You know, that's all it is. Something so little, so simple that we can start to do in taking up our cross daily. I'm going to close in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you can change our lives in a moment, Father. We pray that we don't get caught looking so far to the future that we forget the importance of today, Lord. We want to make today count. Every conversation, every person we meet, we just want to light up the room and be kind in Jesus' name, God. We want to just be able to take up the cross daily, whether it's just making a little sacrifice and not being caught up in tomorrow, but focus on the importance of today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Noah.
Hey, why don't you...